Now's the perfect time to get your Chevy ready for that next road trip with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. When it comes to service, no one knows your Chevy better. Chevy Drive Chicago. Schedule a service appointment at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer.
It's been a whirlwind as I jump in there. Bill Curtis, that's the name of his book, My Life Reporting the News. Bill Curtis, it is an honor for me to speak with you on WGN. How are you feeling?
Well, pretty good, actually. I'm feeling better now because those promotions came in 1973. Bill and Walter, and we started 9 years together. And then, we all go our different ways, CBS News, and the morning news, and out to L.A. and starting my own production company. But it comes back really fast
when it does.
The music.
And it's been a whirlwind, which is the name of your book. So let's start at somewhere toward the beginning. What fascinates me? Okay, there you are in law school. Now you find yourself in a newsroom and you're writing about it. And a tornado is coming at the same time. All these things are happening. And as they're happening, you also write, I don't have all the names in front of me, that Joe Smith, Sam Smith, or whatever their names are. How do you remember all of these names?
Well, whenever you have really an intense experience, like a tornado coming your way, it could wipe it all out. You remember every little detail. And I knew the guys with the crew in the TV station, and everybody came to attention really fast. They knew their jobs. You know, some were floor director, then a director, and we didn't have radar and all the fancy gadgets. But we put people out on the city limits, and especially on the west side and southwest side, to look at the sky and tell us, for God's sake, if there is a tornado that is headed our way. But that turned out to be the best, job or tool we had. So the first I knew about it, that I was filling in, I was studying for the bar, but filling in for a friend of mine, and kind of fell into the slot where my general manager said, look, you go up there and stand in front of the camera, and we'll tell you when to go on with the warning. And the first I heard was from a cameraman, and he said, I'm the southwest edge of the city. We have a big one. It's huge. It's got to be a block wide or a half mile or whatever it was, and it's headed for the city. And we held because, you want it to be accurate, and we were expecting, as everybody does, that it will bounce up into the air and that'll be it. Well, it didn't, and it came down on two big apartment complexes. He called back and he said, this is the one, and it's headed, for the Capitol building. And in between were shopping malls and the university that I just left, studying for the bar. So I was, 26 years old. How am I going to get them in to the basement after everybody takes it for granted? It's just another warning. And so I thought about cussing, crying, whatever, and said, for God's sake, take cover. I was a little overcome myself, and I think the emotion came through. And from that moment, 60 years later, we sit here and talk to Steve Dale, and in between is a career that has witnessed the evolution of television news, events worldwide, and I actually was doing what I love.
All right, but it didn't have but it didn't have to be that way. So if it wasn't, and to be clear, this wasn't in Chicago, but if it wasn't for a tornado, and that experience might have you then taken the bar, and I'd be talking to you now as a part of a law firm, Curtis Jacobson and Sunkum or something.
It could be. I did take the bar, passed, and we always felt guilty because the tornado blew our law books. it 60 miles away, and it ruined 8 out of 10 classroom buildings on the campus. And I had already accepted a job as a lawyer with a firm in Wichita. But was struggling with the idea. Now you're supposed to do what you love. Are you going to love law, or is it too boring for you? And then you say, well, I went to 3 years of law school. Maybe I'd better do that. And it was as if God, stuck his finger down and said, kid, get it straight. Broadcasting is where your talent lies. So,
and in fact, used your law background, as I fast forward the clock, to cover many trials, including this guy, Charles Manson. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I will. And first of all, that decision between law and broadcasting was so hard that, this really helped me in the struggle. And there were only about three reporters in television, covering the Supreme Court, and the specialty of law was really impossible. I thought I'd never be able to combine the two. My first job was Richard Speck, at BBM. But anyway, I got through the fires in Chicago, a conspiracy trial, Bobby Seale and all that. And once again, kind of hit Los Angeles and Charles Manson. And I had not been part of the fear that gripped L.A. when Manson and his, three or four defendants killed Sharon Tate and four other friends in her house. But so I had to get up to speed. That wasn't hard, but we were not expecting the huge explosion of a crime story that happened. It became America's favorite crime story. And the first indication, I kind of went down, and it was the first of 10 months, incidentally, that I spent in the courtroom with Charlie. And the first witness Vincent Bugliosi brought on was named Linda Kasabian. And she was a pretty, if not beautiful, little blonde-haired flower girl. She was wearing the flower dress, high empire, dress, and her hair in pigtails. So you would think, oh, this innocent little thing, you must have been caught in, with a bad man. Well, it turns out that she testified for 12 days. And they had four lawyers representing all the defendants, and each one of them had to take their turn. And the Cronkite show that we were reporting for thought they could just get rid of it in a day. They were tired. They had gone through Sirhan, and not another one. All of a sudden, it explodes across America, and they couldn't get rid of it. And I was a junior reporter showing up. It's as if I was programmed, to walk in this kind of surprise wherever I would go. And that was sort of a big break for me, because I was leading the Walter Cronkite Evening News every night for 12 days. And, my correspondents, Bill Stout and Terry Drinkwater, were salivating. How does he get that? We can't take him off now because, he's established. So that's kind of how I started in L.A.
I've got lots of questions to ask you, including, what would Walter Cronkite think of news today? And more importantly, what does Bill Curtis think of news today? And much more when we come back with legendary broadcaster Bill Curtis on WGN. Well, I chose that cut, Bill Curtis, because Sam Sianis just recently passed away. That, of course, is you reporting from the Billy Goat, but you've reported on everyone from everywhere. Interviewed presidents, interviewed celebrities, interviewed newsmaker after newsmaker after newsmaker. Do you have one favorite interview where you think back on it and it's like, I'm really proud that I did that?
Well, yeah, you know, the politicians are kind of programmed for to sell themselves, so I would eliminate them.
Yes.
And the one I like is a little different. Miro, the artist.
I saw that. I was going to play a cut from that. And you presented Miro with a gift, a couple of gifts, did you not?
Yes, I did. And he was 88. And his wife didn't want him to do any interviews. He was in Mallorca at his little farm overlooking, you know, what was a developing beach down below in Isla de Palma. And we walked into his studio, which is apart from the house. And his stuff, his paintings were on the floor and stuffed in the corners as if he had wadded them up like a writer would wad up a piece of paper and throw it away so he could start over someplace else. And if you're familiar with Miro, they're these strange, you know, contemporary art pieces. Wonderful. But anyway, so I'm getting down to the end of the interview, and he doesn't speak English, so I have a translator, and I leaned over, thinking of, you know, the piece that we have at the Daily Plaza, and I said, well, what do you want the people of Chicago to think when they look at your sculpture? And he pointed to the middle of his forehead and said, I want to tickle them right there. And I thought, oh, my God, that's the best answer I've ever had. And, you know, it was a big get and very, very clever. So there are many to choose from, but that's kind of different.
No, I love that choice. Interesting choice. Now, another choice was made right here in Chicago at WBBM Television Channel 2 when you were paired with Walter Jacobson. It seemed like an unlikely pairing. Of course, Walter, up until about a year ago, not even, worked here at WGN for several years. I got to know him. Nice, nice man. How did that work out where you two became partners, and what was the magic?
Well, I know the magic, but to this day, we don't know if it was an accident or some sly judgment by the new general manager who put us together. He was going to be Len O'Connor at Channel 5.
Meaning?
I was going to become a solo anchor as the CBS News correspondent coming back from covering all these stories, Manson and earthquakes out in L.A. Well, we went through rehearsal a couple days. He and I think about this all the time, and they may have said, you know, alone, as we had planned, it doesn't really have a spark. Walter, you know, is a wonderful reporter, but different. He is unpredictable. Why don't we put him with that staid old apple cheek guy from Kansas? and you got a combination there that may work, you know, who knows? And it's very difficult to put talent together. We're like the couple on top of the wedding cake that are standing there, but you don't know if the wedding is going to last or the marriage. It turns out that he was an inside guy and I was an outside guy. I wanted to continue to be the correspondents that I had in L.A. I love being on the street. And, you know, I was able to go to Saigon on the last 2 weeks, and the station backed me because they thought it would get ratings. He wanted, and to this day wants, nothing more than to spend the day researching, finding a story for a 90-second perspective. And he only won 20 straight Emmys doing that. Well, he would come in, and I would come in first time we've seen each other all day, and we had something to talk about. And we never had an argument, and slowly accepted the fact that, look, we're stronger together than we are apart. And he appreciated my foibles and I his. And, you know, he gave me kind of a sharper edge in my delivery. I was straight down the middle, Cronkite style. And, again, he was unpredictable. So suddenly he became the representative of, minorities in the city of Chicago. And, every politician dreaded having his secretary say, "It's Walter," on the phone, and it just worked out really well.
I think that's an understatement. How would you describe, and we only have a minute here, your style of reporting? My answer is you don't report to us. You invite us into the room as if we were kind of there with you and you're speaking with us.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I would accept that. That's terrific. I learned from Cronkite. You know, he was a tough old Dutchman. He believed somebody's got to tell it down the middle, and he was not tempted to become an advocate on either way. You had two opportunities in reporting for him. One, you could make a mistake. Everybody makes a mistake. And he understood. Not well, but he understood. But you can't make the second mistake. And knowing that is the best quality control I have ever imagined. And by God, you know, he rode it to the top and established this incredible reputation. And so he was my hero, mentor, and I was able to work for him even after he retired. So,
well, you are a mentor and have been a hero, if you will, to other journalists. Generations of them at this point. Bill Curtis, you are... I'm nervous just talking with you. And by the way, you sound amazing. Bill Curtis, Life Reporting the News Whirlwind. That is the name of the book. If you're interested in journalism, you need to get this book. There's no choice about it. My only regret is not enough time with you. We've got to go to the Indy 500 pre-trials.
Oh, yes,
but,
good.
Yeah, but you know how that works. Bill Curtis, thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve. Let's do it again.
I will in a heartbeat.
Okay.
You're on WGN.